This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:01. On your Monday, full studio this afternoon as Bear is here. Mr. Fabulous Rick Butler is here. Matt Huckabee is here. He's going to make his Drive debut coming up here in about an hour on the top four at four. Oh, he looks nervous.
Don't screw it up, Huckabee.
You think he looks nervous, Bear?
Hubba Bubba? No.
My man Huck is going to come through.
Yeah, I think he will.
I got a good feeling about this guy.
I mean, we let Drew Nicholson talk on
that
the
is
air.
True. The bar is pretty low.
Jake Lester, Drew Nicholson. Some of our other. We've had some doozies. Yeah,
you don't have much to live
Rick,
up to.
Rick Butler.
That guy.
Brandon Orrick.
Happy Flag Day.
Is today Flag Day?
Today's Flag Day, June the 14th, marks the 244th anniversary of the United States adopting the Stars and Stripes as its official flag.
Old Glory.
I mean, we do have pretty awesome flag game. I mean, I was going to leave it out there. I mean, can you think of anybody? I do like the Canadians. The Maple Leaf is pretty cool. Like, if we're the battle for second place. The Union Jack is pretty cool.
Union Jack's cool.
Yeah, I like that one. Some of them are too plain. I don't just want three distinct rectangles.
France, Italy.
But then
like,
some
come
of them
on,
are
guys.
Too complex.
But the old Japanese rising sun.
That's actually pretty good.
I like that.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's intimidating, right?
Well, yeah.
I feel like
fascists.
In some way, it has to be sketchable. Like Spain. Spain's got that crest that you could never, you know, you can never try to outline. I feel like it's got to be something you can kind of scribble.
No, I'll tell you, I'm a child of the 70s and the 80s. There was nothing, and I mean nothing, more intimidating than a hammer and sickle against that red background.
It's scary, dude.
Mother Russia.
It's scary.
Yeah, it was scary until the Ruzioni and those boys back in 80.
Oh, Miracle on Ice.
Beat them over the head with it and sticked it up their keisters.
Oh, man. I mean, and I was born in 1980, so I was a kid for like the last 10 years of the Soviet Union. And so they had the flag, and we weren't as worried about nukes as probably your generation was or if you grew up in the 60s. But I just remember the flag, and I remember freaking Gorbachev, dude.
That big port wine
stain.
He's
on the news. Looks like a freaking Bond villain, man. He's got a huge birthmark on his bald head.
He doesn't even make my top five of scariest Soviet leaders.
Well, now,
I grew up with Brezhnev.
Well, in a
he had those eyebrows that looked like you know when your azaleas get out of control before you trim them in the spring and everything was going everywhere.
Okay,
I mean it was scary. Well, there was an article you can look it up. After the fall of the Soviet Union, there was, or it may have been before, but we had a high level defector from the KGB. And during the course of his debrief, at one point, I think it's in 1983, we were like 20 minutes away from nuclear annihilation because Soviet Premier Andropov was convinced that we were doing some war game in the Atlantic.
He just keeps going. He's not going to stop.
No, I'm not.
Unbelievable.
We brought it up. We're talking about the Soviets.
We're going to Omaha.
About being scared.
I was just saluting the flag. It's Happy Flag Day.
All right, fine. We got sidetracked a little bit. Let's break it down.
I'm picking up the flag for Tony Vitello and the Baseball Falls. The road to Omaha is open. We made it. We made it. I mean, it's been a long year. I don't know, man. I go back to a year ago in the summer of COVID when we started having Vitello on more regularly, when it went from we have him on once a month or so, or once every 6 weeks even, to we have him on pretty much every other week is kind of the schedule we've come up with for him. And he said about this time last year when we had him on talking about how disappointing it was to have to shut down the season, and he said last year's team had the look of a team that could make it to Omaha. And he said that, and I think we all kind of like, what? And he's a confident guy. We all kind of, okay, like he knows what an Omaha team looks like. He's been there before. We'll take him at his word. But I think we all kind of thought in the back of our mind, like, whoa, Tony. It's only your third season here. We hope you can get to Omaha. I don't know if team three was going to go. Fast forward to a year later, and they're there. It's unbelievable what this guy has been able to do in 4 years, and it's unbelievable that we're sitting here with baseball fever like we've never had it before in this town, in this community, with this university, and Tennessee, for the first time in 16 years, is headed back to the Field of Dreams in Omaha.
Man, I'll tell you what, between the block party over the last 2 days, between just the game day atmosphere of the last couple days, and just between the community rallying together, I feel like, and everybody on the same page, I was walking out of the stadium on both nights.
Yeah.
And I haven't, you know that when you walk with the big crowd of people out of the stadium and everyone's chanting.
You're riding
either
the wave
BOLS,
of emotion on that. Yeah.
It's great to be a Tennessee. Like, when is the last time, for me, it's been a while, when is the last time you had that moment? And I had it after these baseball games. It's everything right now is on a totally, totally different level.
We talked about that yesterday on Voluntary Reaction and what it must have been like walking out of that stadium. We saw there was a WBIR had a reporter doing a live stand-up right outside, and all of a sudden John Fulkerson just like walks up and hijacks the live shot from outside Lindsey Nelson. It was a great scene, man. I wish I could have been there.
Dude, there were
celebrities. It was very similar to what I used to do to you guys on the Blitz. I just walk in the middle of a segment, kick the door open, and grab a mic.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of celebrities there. You mentioned Fulkerson. I saw pictures of Grant Williams. I was walking out of the stadium basically two steps behind the entire 2021 Tennessee men's basketball team. Everybody from Urosh to Josiah to Victor.
How'd you like to be sitting behind
Urosh? The celebrities are everywhere. It's incredible. Oh, that would not have been fun.
Rick,
tall man.
You're sounding a little hoarse.
I know. I did pretty good on the weekend, but
did
my
you give
voice
your
did
all?
Not.
Were you hollering?
I think you can tell that I did my part.
Okay.
I tried to do. Look, we talked about it all week, right? What were the ticket situation going to be? Who were going to be in the seats? Were there going to be a bunch of purple? I can tell you right now, I at least did my part. My voice hurts.
Yeah, you sound, I don't say rough, but I could definitely tell you've been putting in that effort with the vocal cords. So your Lindsey Nelson experience was, man, I wish I could have been in there. The voluntary reaction was fun, man. We did two of them this week. And
I listened. They were amazing.
It was a lot of fun. I knew it would be fun, but it was more fun than honestly I've even anticipated.
Well, yeah, and so, I mean, I think as well, like, this was the first non-football one or basketball that we've seen, right? First baseball voluntary reaction.
Yeah.
And people were fired up. Like, it was so exciting to hear.
Well, it was fun, man. I'm glad for, as I said at the end of the show yesterday, just for the fans, because they've been such a part of this season and a part of this story, a part of this experience. And Tony Vitello has been great at pointing that out all throughout the season, and again yesterday, and I honestly believe that Tennessee is not at this point. I know they have a great team and a great coach whose persona they embody and take on, but I don't think that this team would be going to Omaha without this fan base. I truly believe that, and it is they've ridden the wave of emotion, and Tennessee's behind it, and it's just refreshing to see a program over there in orange and white where we're all on the same page, and there is literally no detraction from Tony Vitello's vision and everything. Even as good as our basketball program has been and as solid a foundation as Barnes has right now, you know, nobody's calling for his head. I know that. But there's, you know, that discontent that you hear from fans of, oh, he's regular season Rick, or, oh, he's never going to win the big one, or too much mid-range jumper. I don't like the style. I wish he were more accessible to the local media and fans. And all the complaints you hear, you hear none of that with Tony Vitello and the baseball team. And I don't, you know, I'm a Barnes guy. I don't mean that as a shot at all. But I just think there is a bit of a contrast there where you've got this guy, Vitello, who everybody is in lockstep with his vision for the program, what it should be, where it's going. And it's really fantastic, man. And I'm glad for the fans, because we have something to celebrate and feel good about and rally around here in the middle of June, which is just so unexpected. It's one thing when your basketball team catches fire, your football team, even, you know, 2016, your Hawaii 5-0, that was a lot of fun at that time. But this was just so unexpected, man. Who would have thought that we would be here today having this conversation?
You know, we talked about all those biggest moments that Tennessee has had in the last decade or so. And no doubt about it, when you combine the two wins over the weekend, to me, this was the biggest win that Tennessee has had in the last 10 years. Just thinking about everything that goes into it, thinking about what it's pulling this fan base out of, just in terms of such a disappointing basketball ending to the season and where football left off and that whole offseason fiasco. Everything is clicking right now, and you're right. It's just incredible to see.
Phil, who was our first caller last night on the voluntary reaction, said it was the biggest win since we beat Kentucky in the SEC tournament. Is that, I guess, the year before last with the Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield team.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that was followed up with massive disappointment, I tend to agree, man. That was just such a satisfying win. At the time.
To go to the final stage of the postseason, too.
Yeah, really good comparison. So, Tennessee has punched their ticket. And, man, it looks like we might play this Dallas Baptist team on Sunday in Omaha. They currently lead Virginia 2-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning in a series that is being played in Columbia, South Carolina at Founders Park, where the Gamecocks play, and Virginia's in some real trouble. We talked about this yesterday. It seems like there's always that one team in Omaha, whether it's a Cal State Fullerton or a Northridge or a Coastal Carolina, one of those quote-unquote mid-major or even small schools that you never heard of that comes out of nowhere, crashes the party. And generally speaking, that's a team you don't want to play. These guys are 41-17. Dallas Baptist. I'd imagine this is a pretty big story back in your stomping grounds.
Yeah, no doubt.
Rick. But if they win, we would play Dallas Baptist. We play the winner of this game. And then tonight at 7 in Starkville, Mississippi State plays Notre Dame, and the winner goes to Omaha. So for those of you who don't know how the College World Series works, it's pretty simple. The best way to explain it is – it is just like a reset of the tournament so far. We would play in a four-team tournament, double elimination, with the winner of this game between Dallas Baptist and Virginia, the winner of the Notre Dame-Mississippi State game, and then Texas. So that would be – and then if you – and then the other side, the other four teams do the same thing. And then the two winners of the little mini regionals, whatever you want to call it, meet in a best of three championship series. And I look at the way it sets up. We hammered Mississippi State once. I don't think anybody's quaking in their boots over Dallas Baptist in Virginia. Texas is pretty good. Why not us?
Could be.
Why not the Vols? Why not Tony Vitello in the championship series?
Tennessee and Texas will be a heavyweight fight.
The battle of the orange UTs.
That's fake UT down there in Austin, and then us, the real UT. I mean, hell, we were a university before they were a state.
It's, I feel like it's all gravy at this point. We've made Omaha in Tony Vitello's fourth year. I'm not going to be disappointed. It's not going to be one of those cup check moments if Tennessee doesn't win a national championship this week in Nebraska. But a lot of people didn't think we'd come this far. A lot of people didn't think this program was ready to take this big a leap this early in this coach's tenure with our stadium that ranks near the bottom and all the other competition in the league and everything that has to be overcome. Not many people thought Tennessee would still be standing here today, right now. So why not? Why not Tennessee in the championship series? Why not Tennessee winning it all? Why not Tony Vitello hanging the damn banner in Lindsey Nelson Stadium? Why not us? Why not now?
I called it before the season started on the show. Said we were going to the series.
Let's not forget, too. I mean, to your point, Russ, with Arkansas out, is this not the highest ranked? I know seeded-wise, I believe we're 3 and Vanderbilt's 2. But I believe in a couple of those polls, we ended the season at number 2 in the rankings. I mean, this is inarguably one of the absolute top-ranked teams left in the field. I think your question is exactly right. Why not? Why not us? I think we got as good a chance as anybody, especially knowing that we've already seen Vanderbilt before. I think that plays to an advantage, hopefully.
How about that? Pretty darn fantastic what this team has gotten done, the way they've captured this town's imagination, the way everybody has jumped on board with Tony Vitello's baseball volunteers. Let's talk about it. 865-546-8200, your number to jump on. We are open lines the whole way today. If you did not get in on voluntary reaction, now is your chance to salute this baseball program and talk about what the ceiling is here. Could Tennessee be about to pull off the unthinkable? Do you dare to dream, ladies and gentlemen?
I do.
Do you dare to dream a national championship in baseball? Think about it. We'll be back with more right after this. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Dallas Baptist team, I mean, isn't their coach one of the guys that was on A&M's shortlist?
Yes, I believe he was.
And so, they went ahead and hired the TCU guy, so maybe this guy gets the TCU job. I don't know.
I think that, you know, DBU is one of these mid-majors, but I feel like they do get to, I mean, at least the super regionals, like 60, 70% of the time.
Oh, that dude just went.
No.
Oh, right at the.
Wow.
It's gone. No, he caught it.
He got it.
Oh.
Over the wall.
He just Otis Nixon'd him.
Over the wall.
That was awesome. Virginia just robs Dallas.
He didn't even climb the wall. He just jumped.
Home run.
Yeah, he just
How
jumped.
How tall is that kid?
That broad jump is incredible.
Russell, what do you talked about the laces on the gloves. What do you make of this baseball players without any undershirt? I mean, just having their jerseys unbuttoned down to like their sternum.
I mean, Bear,
if
you're sexy like me and you got a broad chest with
one hair
glistening in the sun, I mean, you just go ahead and you just let that puppy, you let it fly. I wouldn't expect you to know anything about that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was
I mean, it's a billion. They're playing in Columbia, South Carolina. I guarantee it's 95 degrees there. It feels like you're on the surface of the sun. Yeah, I'd be wearing as little clothing as possible, too.
Dude, that was one of the most standout things about the game yesterday. Hot. You were just in an oven the whole time. And
it was
then
really
on,
humid, too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you're exactly. A little roasted, man. You got the burn.
I'm burnt. I'm wearing long sleeves to hide the burn. And then on Saturday's game, the rain.
Well, pictures on social media seem like you might have even been intoxicated.
Who, me?
Every picture I saw,
you had a truly,
not just in your hand. You had it up to your mouth, sucking it down.
Yeah, pouring it down your pie hole.
can't confirm or deny.
That's a good way to get dehydrated.
That is. You're not wrong. But the rain was very weird. I heard it didn't rain like anywhere else in the city.
No.
It was just that one pocket.
I got to go find this picture, man. There was somebody was driving eastbound on I-40 near Westtown Mall, right?
Okay.
You can see all the way down. And they took a picture, and you could – it's dry. It looks like probably like it does right now.
Sunny.
And except for a perfect cylinder of rain right over campus.
And it poured, too. I mean, at first it started out, and it was just a little bit of light rain, and you were like, oh, great. A little break from the heat. This is wonderful. And then it just keeps coming down. You're like, oh, my God, this is annoying now. And then they called play. And that was
– I mean, it was monsoon. I've seen the picture of Cheese.
Oh, that's an iconic picture.
I didn't realize he looked as crazy as he does. See that one picture where he's got his glasses on?
He's got a bulldog to him, man. He's a bulldog. He's going to get in there. He's going to compete, man. That's why you got to love the Cheese.
He's got a little Kenny Powers in him.
Not necessarily the nastiest stuff on earth. He's not the biggest guy. He doesn't overpower you with velocity or movement or anything like that. But he's just a bulldog, man. He competes. He's a fierce competitor. And if, you know, you're not going to bet against him. I'll tell you what's interesting looking ahead towards this week. Is you've got Chad Dallas, who should be fine. It was interesting to see Tidwell. His performance yesterday was pretty good. I think he struck out 7 or 8, but he also gave up a lot of long balls.
He didn't make it into the seventh, though, did he?
He pitched well, yeah. He pitched 7 solid innings. Was it 6 or 7?
6 or 7.
And then Heflin doesn't pitch at all.
They go to Sewell, don't they? Yeah, they went to Sewell next.
Yeah, I mean, they only used 4 pitchers. You had Hundley, or I guess they used 5 because Redmond Walsh did come in at the end.
He did. He closed the whole thing.
Yeah, but winning it in 2, I think we're not playing until what, Sunday? So we should have just
plenty
fresh.
Rested.
Yeah, I mean – We're what, less than 24 hours behind Vanderbilt as far as rest goes. There's 5 teams that went 5-0. It's us, Texas, and Vanderbilt. But I feel like our arm should be as rested as both of theirs.
You know whose arm isn't rested? Our boy Copps down there at Arkansas.
Oh, my goodness.
What was the final tally, 120?
118.
118 pitches.
His last one was a homer.
His last pitch, I don't think it's landed yet, was an absolute moonshot.
He crushed it.
NC Smoked. State. Yeah. I mean, it was like the Drew Gilbert Grand Slam. There was never a definitive angle of, like, saw it come down.
Yeah, it just got lost.
Yeah, it was just
Was his
gone.
Reaction the same as Gilbert's? Like, most of those guys, when you hit it.
No, it was not like Gilbert's. Not at all.
I mean, did he not immediately know as soon as he hit it that it was gone?
You could tell. I mean, yeah, he – because,
like, everybody in that game when Gilbert hit it, like, none of the kids from Wright State turned around.
They didn't even turn around.
When the batter doesn't bolt.
When he just sits there and smiles.
Beck yesterday when he launched his, and you could just tell.
It's got a different sound to it. Sometimes you can get I get a little confused because you're worried if it's going to go foul.
Yeah,
but Beck absolutely destroyed one yesterday. He got all of it.
Biggest hit for Beck since Where It's At.
Oh my God, he had a phenomenal weekend.
And then
it's about time.
What are the best feelings in this game is when you see the opposing team's outfielders and you're watching them because their body language gives it away, right?
Yeah.
You can see when they're hustling back to the wall, you're like, oh, he's going to get this one. But then they inevitably, on a home run, get to that point where they kind of ease up, stop running quite as hard. They're looking up. They're looking beyond the fence, and you're like, yeah.
That thing's gone. Yeah.
What a great feeling.
What did Wilkerson say? I was listening on the radio yesterday, one of them. May have been Gilbert's yesterday. Said something about it had been launched. He can crush a baseball.
man, it's a fun team to watch. I don't hate it for Arkansas because obviously we've got a little rivalry there. I don't think that's it for them. I mean, that program, they're going to be back. I do think that Tennessee might have stolen LSU's mojo yesterday. They're making a coaching change. They obviously do not have the talent they once did, and Tennessee is obviously ascendant in that sport. And 20 long years after Nick Saban and Rohan Davey put a curse on the Volunteers, put a voodoo on us, and we haven't been the same in football since, I believe that Tennessee returned the favor. And I know there's a difference in terms of importance in the national stage of football and baseball. I'm not comparing them. But damn it, we got to have something around here, man. We got to have something. And if this is what it's going to be, if this football program has just decided that they're not interested in competing anymore, then I'm fine with it. I came to this realization yesterday on Voluntary Reaction. If we are simply a basketball and baseball school now, then I'll adjust my calendar. I'm not kidding. I'll start treating fall the way we used to treat summer, and we'll be gearing up for basketball, and the real season starts in our sales season and advertising season. Instead of running August through December and then, you know, the secondary season of January through March, we're just going to go October through the end of June. And then I'll just treat July through September. That'll be the time that
do what you're talking about in October?
Yeah, that'll be the time that we take vacations, go play a little golf, a little tennis, get sunburned, go to the beach.
Debate who's got the best breakfast.
Disney, yeah, who's
pancakes
got
or waffles.
Exactly. We'll do all that stuff
play
during
all the
football
hits.
Season.
Yeah.
And we'll just pretend it doesn't exist the way we used to pretend baseball season doesn't exist. I'm totally comfortable with that.
I mean, I'd originally planned on doing what you're talking. We were going to start what you're talking about right around next week. This is usually the time of year when it starts up.
Yeah.
We have to shift gears.
No, man, we're full steam ahead.
I don't know. I think Hypes may have something for us. It's not going to be fast, and it's not going to be easy, but I got faith in him.
I'm going to go around the room, a quick show of hands here. And you can chime in on this as well if you want. How worried are we? Let's do the Vitello worry meter. How worried are we that LSU or somebody else might come and steal him away, with 10 being he's gone, we're screwed, what am I doing with my life, to 0 being no chance?
Zero.
Zero?
Zero.
Oh, you can't be 0.
I'm 0.
You're a Tennessee fan. There's no way you're 0.
It's 0. There's no chance. No chance.
Is there? There's a chance.
No chance in
it. It's Tennessee. There's a chance. Huck's saying 3. Rick, what about you?
I don't know. That's tough. Where are you going to go?
I'm going to go 2.
I'll go 1 simply because it's Tennessee.
A month ago, before that flurry of news stories came out, which were, you know, obviously there was some leaking going on there.
I was
couldn't have made
Danny
5. White very happy. But yeah, I mean, it was like
it was
4 50, or 5. 50.
Yeah,
it was
a little more.
It definitely could have happened, but we felt good about it. But still, I'm down to a 2 right now. I would be lying if I said that there wasn't a part of me that was a little bit worried about it. I still feel like that ball is on the 1 yard line. And at this point, Vitello, I mean, I'm sure he's letting his agent and representation handle all this stuff, as he's 110% focused on the task at hand, which is what you love about the guy. But
I mean, short of him being the guy on the grassy knoll in Dallas, Texas, there'd be nothing that would. I don't know. I mean, he's just everything that's gone on, especially the past 2 series, and I think a lot of it, Russ, goes back to that SEC tournament and the way the team reacted. I think the turning point in the season may have been after they got disappointed and got one snatched from them by Alabama.
Yep.
Down there, and instead of, you know, just mailing it in and getting ready for the Super Regional, They came. They went back to work the next day and damn near won that one.
Hey, I am spot on with you, too. Because you're totally right, right? You lose to Alabama, you kind of get hosed on that one, but then you come back and you run rule two straight games in a row. Yeah, you lost the finals.
They've only lost one game since the Alabama game.
Exactly. Now it's playing five games, in, you know, your fifth game in 5 days, and then after
and
that...
playing number one.
Yeah, and then after that, you haven't lost.
You won seven of your last eight.
I mean, it's
the one loss being to Arkansas.
Yeah, number one team, number one Arkansas. What an epic collapse down there for them.
Saw cops, too. He hung out at the ballpark after the game for like an hour, signing autographs for kids. I do feel for him. I don't feel for Arkansas as a whole. But
they're a great team, man.
That cop kid gave everything he had.
He really did.
Jeez.
He gave his entire arm.
It was an epic performance, man. And it was
– That's the only part of me. I kind of wish they'd won – just for that guy, because it would have been an epic performance and a win, which would have been a little bit better. But, yeah. I mean, now that he's a senior, so now that once he hits the majors, I'm going to enjoy every bit of – I mean, he's nasty, dude.
Okay, so Texas is – we know Texas is in our pod. There's a pretty good chance we will be matched up with them at some point next week. Who else do we want? We've got Dallas Baptist and Virginia duking it out here, and then
– I'd go with
– I don't know if I want probably Arizona.
You don't want any part of Arizona.
No, I don't think so either. They just smoked Ole Miss.
Well, that's not Arizona. Mississippi State and Notre Dame would be the other one, right?
Is Arizona over there with Vanderbilt?
I believe so.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, I think Arizona could hit. I'm not saying both of them, but Arizona's going to give Vanderbilt everything. They've got the number one offense in the country.
I think I would rather have – I'd like to see Virginia win this thing. Because I just don't like playing the young upstart, the plucky team. Everybody's going to be for them, you know, Dallas Baptist.
Sure.
Everybody's
going to
be
story.
Pulling for the underdog. I'd rather
play
Virginia.
Got a little Loyola Chicago about them?
Exactly. I think we can handle Virginia.
Syracuse with first-year Boeheim?
Yeah, I'm not worried about Virginia. And then it's hard for me to say this, but I say bring on Notre Dame, man. Just because – to hell with the rest of the SEC. I don't even want Mississippi State to have the joy of making it. And what a story it would be if the only from the mighty SEC, the only two teams to make it were from the state of Tennessee. I think that would be pretty cool.
And all Tennessee,
the final perhaps as well. I mean.
Oh, God, how sweet would it be to beat them in that spot?
Oh, man.
I mean, just to be able to
my
get
nipples
the punch.
Are tingling just thinking about it, Bear.
I mean, just to be able to get to punch those Vanderbilt fans right in the – just walk up to them and punch them right in the face as hard as we can.
Metaphorically speaking, of
exactly.
Course.
And then just step back and laugh. Eat it, nerd.
Chris on Twitter says, the 37 want to know the Drive's thoughts on Vandy Boys.
I'm not familiar with them.
Who?
Vandy Boys.
Is this a group like the Legends?
I think that's just their nickname. That's their branding. Every time
I imagine their khakis are starched, their Bass penny loafers are shined, and fairly certain that me and Russ could probably whip 10 of them at a time back to back.
These are the frat boys from
they have sweaters
from
tied
from Animal House. Yeah, this is
Doug Marmalade.
Yeah,
Niedermeyer.
Yeah, this is that crew.
Yeah.
Vandy Boys. That's lame, dude. That's so stupid.
I mean, I'm not the biggest fan in the world, Legends of Lindsay. I thought they should have maybe come up with something.
Could have workshopped that one a little bit.
I love
a little
that
bit
one.
Edgier.
I like that one. A little alliteration. Did you guys see Drew Gilbert's bat flip? I'm just now looking at it for the first time.
Yeah, I told Russ. Holy I told smokes. Russ yesterday we were here watching. I was like, nobody. Nobody has a better bat flip than this
you
guy.
Think that's
Nobody.
Why they, do you think they hit him on purpose?
Hell yeah. That one was on purpose.
Think so?
Liam wasn't.
Him in the dome.
Yeah. That wasn't
I hope that wasn't on purpose.
Was it Fontenot? I thought
yeah,
Fontenot was getting
Fontenot.
A little bit
I'm still
I thought
wondering
you could
if he's
tell
related
that.
To Marie. But yeah. No, that was going to be a that wasn't a fastball. That one that hit Drew Gilbert, that was a fastball, and it hit about where it was aimed.
So you think it was retaliation for the bat flip or just a culmination of frustration from the entire series?
I mean, Drew Gilbert, much like Admiral Schofield, and who are the other ones you say, if they didn't play for us?
Juwan Smith.
Love them when you're on, they're on your Slay. Team. Hate them when they're on the other team.
Yeah.
Gilbert, for
do
sure.
Do we ever we charge them out in college baseball?
They don't really do that. Now, I told you yesterday, I said, if that had been a major league game, Drew Gilbert would have gone and gotten him some of that guy. That guy meant to hit him.
They had to hit him. Otherwise, they were just worried that he was going to launch another 500-footer, flip his bat all the way down to Baton Rouge, grab his crotch, and just moonwalk backwards across the bases. So I could totally see him doing, all the way around.
Come on!
I mean, he just appears to me, he's definitely – Gilbert, I would imagine, is likes to fight guy on that team.
The team has so much swagger. It is so fun to watch.
He's the littlest guy on the team, but also the dude who probably kicks the most ass.
That dude, he is intense for – I mean, he's a freshman, right? Is this his freshman? I'm thrown off by COVID.
I'll check for you. I'll double check.
And he's from Minnesota.
You're walking in to the bar – on Broadway sophomore. To take on the entire
so we got him
to take
more.
On the Vandy boys. They got about a dozen guys in pressed khakis, sweaters tied neatly around their necks over their polo shirts.
Yeah.
And you can only take two guys with you. They're going to be 3-on-12. And you can pick two guys off Tony Vitello's roster.
Gilbert.
Who are you taking to take on the Vandy boys?
Oh, I got it. Go ahead, Bear.
Probably Drew Gilbert and Cheese.
Hard to argue.
Those guys kind of look like the kind of guys that aren't going to mind if they get punched in the face.
Hard to argue.
Can I take Vitello? Or no? If you're going to say no, I will say
Gilbert. I feel like with Coach's personality, you're thinking you're going outside to fight him, and then he's as you see him driving down the street in his Maserati, you aren't getting close to Tony V.
Evan Russell, I think, is in this conversation.
Yeah, we got several. I don't know that
Logan
I wouldn't mind.
Logan Steenstra, he's like 6'9".
What about just rolling in there with Beck?
Yeah, now Beck.
6 foot.
Yeah, I
a
like
billion,
Beck.
Whatever he is, and just heavily muscled. He's got that beautiful Upper Alabama waterfall going on. His flow is incredible.
Yeah. Evan Russell, he's just got some country boy to him.
What about Pavloni?
Durkay. I feel like Pete is he's a big boy.
Houston,
yeah, he's older,
he
too.
He can hit you.
Houston Kress at Ball Rumor Mill on Twitter says, I'm taking two Tony Vitellos.
Why do you need two?
I feel like one would be fine. We just said Tony in there to whip all the Vandy boys, 1-on-12, and then we could just stand back there and watch.
We had somebody call, didn't want to come on the air, but he said he's rolling with Gilbert and Cheese.
Okay.
I mean, one of those two guys is liable to do something crazy and I've been around I had a roommate like that, but just do something so insane in the first 15 seconds of the fight, it could just be over.
Gilbert seems like the kind to orchestrate a well-placed rear naked choke, just get on your back and like not – and just choke you out and like
– either that or just stomp up to you and then just punch you in the jaw and just knock you out.
And then Evan Russell seems like he seems like the barroom brawler. He's running in there like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Throwing. Just
I'll
throwing.
Tell you, there's one kid. It's either Liam or there's one kid that I swear he looks like a little bit more – have a little bit more weight version of Will Stevens. I mean, he's skinny like Will. Big, tall, rangy kid. I can't remember which – I don't know if it's
– is it Max?
It may be Max Ferguson.
It might be.
South Carolina's ballpark looks so much like Smoky Stadium in Sevierville.
Oh, wow.
Just the layout.
Mm-hmm. It does, doesn't it?
It's really nice
area
looking.
And yeah. The lounge.
Which I mean that as a compliment, because that's a beautiful ballpark out there.
How many games have
you
been to
there? Do
you
think they're going to – go ahead.
At Smoky Stadium?
No, at the South Carolina.
I've never been there.
Really?
No.
Their football stadium when I went there wasn't that nice.
Williams-Brice?
Yeah, I was just –
well, it's off campus. It's kind of it's off the beaten path a little bit, out in the middle of a fairground, basically.
That first, I'll tell you what it is. It is easy to get into that first concourse. Like, you don't have to.
Yeah,
like,
it's convenient. I like it. I mean, it's no Neyland Stadium or some of the other cathedrals of college football, but they've built their practice facility and operations center right across the street from it now, and it's really nice. Their facilities are really good over there, but their football program's kind of a mess. I was reading Lindy's over the weekend. They suck, dude. I haven't even heard of their quarterback.
Who's South Carolina? Yeah.
Luke Doty, I believe.
Yeah, he's not leaving the cupboards full like he did at Florida. I mean, like, Florida still had players after he left. Like, he'd done a good job recruiting.
No, the
cupboard's pretty bare over there.
We should handle them at home. I'd be very disappointed if we don't win that game.
How much is the baseball? Does that raise the pressure level on Heupel?
Well, I don't know if it raises the pressure level, but like Christopher Gabriel said last week, I think it sets the bar. Which, I mean, I think that in and of itself is a huge occurrence this year, because a program that not only has forgotten how to win but has learned how to lose, like, you gotta get that loser out of you first before you can even learn to win. That's a two-step process, and it takes a long time. And
I didn't realize the baseball team had been wandering around the desert for almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what Vitello had to do, and it's taken him 4 years. Now, he was able to kind of turn the worm last year, and we didn't get to see it. But I feel like Vitello has set the bar for Tennessee athletics across the board, Rick Barnes included. It's 2021. It's a new era.
The postseason with Barnes
in sport. It's a new era in terms of the generation of kids that you're recruiting. And Tony Vitello has shown how to be successful at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville in any sport. I really do think there's some carryover. And I'm not saying that Heupel has to come out there and talk smack and play jam or not a jam on the drive. Or Barnes doesn't have to do that.
No, it's got nothing to do with that. To me, it's the way he's coached his team in the postseason.
And
the way he's coached him in the big series. He plays to win.
How can you affect your team's mentality so that they take on your mentality, your fan base takes it on? And as I was saying earlier, you're all aligned. That's what the thing Fulmer talked about so much is we got to get on the same page, all aligned, everybody pulling in the same direction. He was saying the right things, but he did a poor job of delivering, obviously.
Right.
And to me, if I'm Danny White, I'm using Tony Vitello a lot in across all the different sports, in just terms of, okay, this is who we want to be. This is what we want our programs to look like, how we want them to carry themselves, and how we want them to go about competing.
I've got a question for you.
Can you hold it to the break? After the break?
Kind of want to hit you with it, and then
all right.
Yeah. Or we can hold it through. It's
all right, go throw it out there, and I will answer after the break.
Where would we be if John Curry had initially gone after Mike Leach instead of Shiano? Curry hired this guy.
If Dondi had just letting him, Bev had just letting him hire the Pirate.
Hire the Pirate.
Letting him? Did I say that? Is that?
Yeah.
That's not a word, is it?
I mean, we'd have three of the biggest personalities in college sports would be our three main sport head coaches.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear and Rick Cruz along with you. Monday afternoon edition of the show. Bear posing the question before the break, where would this athletics department be as a whole if John Curry had been left to his own devices? And remember, he had Leach pretty much wrapped up. Mike Leach wanted this job. He was going to come here. But
100%.
The train had derailed so badly at this point that I don't think many people
It was going to be Leach's first time where he could install what he does and do it at a traditional powerhouse school.
Well, we would be in the fourth year, right?
Yeah.
It would be his fourth year.
And we'd probably be throwing for like 700 yards, and then occasionally we'd get beat by North Mississippi Valley State.
the conversation around this upcoming season would be a lot different because the expectations would – I don't know that we're expecting a championship, but I think that we're definitely at that you should be winning 9 or 10 games threshold.
We probably would be. There would be a ton of pressure on Leach in his fourth year with Vitello being in his fourth year.
Well, and I also think the conversation about will Vitello stay, I mean, you're going to be loyal to the guy that gave you your shot, right?
Yeah.
And Curry was smart enough to read the room in terms of, you know, he's going to want to keep his guy. He made a great hire, right? He's going to want to keep him and ride that wave. That's a feather in his cap.
Yeah. I would absolutely be at zero if Curry were still here because that's his – that may be his best hire in his career.
Well, you were very adamant and have been very adamant you did not want Mike Leach.
No, and I'm honestly, I don't – obviously, I would take Mike Leach over what happened to our program by putting Jeremy Pruitt in charge.
Yeah.
But I still don't think – I mean, Mike Leach is Mike Leach, and I think it would have gotten old. His shtick would have gotten old real quick. And it would gotten really ugly.
But you would rather have Curry and Leach knowing that, okay, Mike Leach might not ever be anything more than 9-3 here at Tennessee over – you would take that
some
over –
some guy that probably should be pumping gas somewhere.
Well, no,
in Dothan,
over
Alabama.
What we have now, which is Heupel is a big bag of unknown. We don't know. He might be better than Leach. He might be worse. We don't know, but – the ceiling might be higher, but you're going to have to go through this whatever it's about to happen with the NCAA.
I mean, we're in uncharted territory. SMU wasn't as sloppy and when they got the death penalty as we were. Yeah. And they were flat out just handing out grocery bags of money.
Hilarious story about Rick Butler's dad unfolding. We'll get to that here in just a few. First, though, let's talk to Joe on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Joe. You're on the drive.
That's old Bear, fellas. How are we doing?
Doing well. What's up, man?
Well, I might be, you know, out skipping myself here, but I just put in the request for the championship series, the College World Series out in Omaha.
You requested the day off or you're going?
No, I requested tickets for the championship series.
Wow. Joe calling a shot.
So I've heard that's kind of a way to do it, right? If you want to go, you wait until the championship game because all the losers will be selling their hotel rooms, selling their stuff. So that's really when you can get some of the deals.
Well, I wanted to go, but I just like – part of me just kind of wanted to – everybody's like kind of saying, oh, you should just go to see them play. No matter what, and don't put your horses before the carriage or whatever. But if they're playing for a national championship and I go out there before that, and then they I'm not there, I couldn't live with it. We're gonna play for a natty. I have to be there, especially in such a special year.
Might be the way to do it, man. That's an interesting thought, Joe. We've had all kinds of issues come
up.
Worst
case scenario, we don't go and I can sell my tickets for something else. Somebody else. I mean,
There you go.
And I'll make money on it, I'm sure, probably. I mean, it was like $100 to –
You can sell them to the Vandy boys.
All three games. Yeah, sell it to the Vandy boys.
Pay top dollar price. The Vandy boys.
The Vandy boys.
The Vandy boys.
I imagine they sound like what's his name off of a Family Guy, the kid, the baby.
Oh, Stewie.
Stewie, yeah.
Mm. The Vandy boys.
Bring me some champagne.
Anything else, Joe?
But I'm excited. I'm hoping I get to use these tickets, so I'm hoping I get to go out there. But no, I just wanted to call in and share that with everybody, and just hopefully we can do it.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. The Vandy boys kicked your dad out of practice.
Yeah, they did.
Rick Butler's dad, Warren B., he's got a high motor.
Yeah.
He's fixing to regulate.
Did he calm down the other night?
He was ready to see a little bit more baseball. I mean, I don't know. He was fired up all weekend.
Is he an on-hold hothead? We've got a certain segment of our callers that call us, and I know who they are. I'm not going to name shame them other than Warren G., they get hot, like if they stay on hold too long. But that wasn't intentional.
Oh, I don't know about that. But I do know that, you know, man, so he's flying back to Texas through Nashville, so they had a little bit of time to kill. So they were like, hey, we'll go over to Vanderbilt, see if the baseball team's out there. They were. I guess him and his buddy kind of snuck their way into the stadium to go scout a little bit. And immediately, a couple of personnel people came over and was like, hey, whoa, got to leave. Get out.
Unbelievable. Matt Huckabee will have the top four at four when we continue next on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.